You longer. Everyone, tonight we do our first ever debate on Tatooine. There's reports of a High Republic show, but with a small twist, and it looks like Book of Boba Fett is getting amazing viewership numbers. All that and more here on Tatooine. Welcome back to Tatooine, everyone. I'm your host, Star Wars Only, joined with Darth Daddy Longa, Goldman, and Palpamemes. And also, welcome to the official Tatooine channel. We're not doing the streams anymore on the Star Wars Only channel. Tatooine will only be here on Tatooine. So subscribe to the channel if you are a fan of the show. But if you're new here on Tatooine, we talk about the news, debates, topics, and we simply chat about Star Wars. If you miss the live stream, it's uploaded to anywhere that you listen to podcasts, like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So leave us a review on there. Now that we're done with the housekeeping notes, it's been a week since the Book of Boba Fett has come out. How do you guys feel about the fandom? Everything been kind of chill so far?
It's a guy spun in the last episode. I don't know if you all saw that, but that caused some discussions amongst the fandom.
Longa, you were trying to talk, but I think
you're muted. Yeah. Yes, sorry. I interrupted you.
The mute interrupted me. No,
but you guys don't spin before you do everything. Like you don't before you go pee, you don't go spin and then pee like he did. Like that's I don't know.
If the camera's on me, then maybe.
It is funny seeing people. I think it's only on Twitter. I think this has kind of become a joke amongst us and other fans. Is that like people on Twitter are almost like you can't criticize like anything corny in Star Wars. Like that spin, like it's not a big deal. Like I think a Mortal Kombat director like called it corny or something like that. Everybody lost their mind. It's like, what are you gonna tell him? Like he's not a real filmmaker. Like what the fuck? Like I don't care if his movies are bad, but like it's funny. It's just funny to acknowledge that.
Star Wars Twitter, the best place to be, or any Twitter really.
any fandom involved with Twitter, the Marvel fans have been poking fun at us because we didn't get a Star Wars like trailer during the Super Bowl, but we've only had one, which was a. I think Solo Star Wars Story 2018.
Yeah.
It was a different time to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. Anyone like hoping it was going to happen is like, it's like really everything we have documented and talked about with the marketing when it comes to Lucasfilm. Did anyone really expect it would have been a happy surprise? But did anyone really expect something during the Super Bowl? I mean, let's be honest.
Not after they released the Multiverse of Madness trailer. They're not going to cross over hype like that. The second I saw that, I was like, "Well, because Disney." You. I don't know. I'm not marketing it. Yeah, but right.
You're making too much sense. My bad.
I know. I'm just noticing like whenever Marvel releases their marketing stuff, Lucasfilm stays away because you want to keep hype contained to one specific franchise. I guess is Disney's approach to this. I would assume. I guess I wasn't.
It's a nice mic you got there, Papa Memes. How much did Disney? I mean, how much did that cost you?
Oh well, here's a funny story.
You weren't supposed to say that live.
I'm sorry.
About that.
We'll edit it out later. Edit it out.
Gift from John Favreau himself. He sent it over after our Mando season 2 cameos. He hooked Tatooine up. He's a friend of the show. All right, you guys didn't know. That's the source that's gotten everything wrong.
We're not allowed to tell people about our cameos in season 3 yet.
No.
I've already filmed mine. I'm not sure about you three, but I already filmed mine, and wow.
They ghosted me.
I already showed you. I'm getting my own show, The Longalorian. That's
yeah, comics. With a budget of $4 an episode.
Hey, you know what? That's more than my budget is right now to make my channel, so that works.
Well, if you guys didn't know, I know we talked about this before the show and leading up to it. Today we are debating. I mean, we haven't really done a debate. We don't really have a format for it other than just fucking talking. But we are debating today if Lucasfilm should do a new Jedi Order set after the rise of Skywalker. And this kind of comes from this rumor that has been, I think, floating around for, I think, a week or two. I mean, maybe a little less. But it says from, what's her name? Jonah Robinson. She is a former writer for Variety. And it says, this is from the Star Wars Direct website. It says, in this Ringerverse podcast via Reddit, Jonah Robinson shared a rumor that Lucasfilm is interested in crafting a Jedi Order that undertakes a new direction. Robinson, a former writer for Vanity Fair, I don't know why I said Variety, what the fuck, said the founding principle of the Order would be an embracement of attachments. And this is specifically what she said. I've heard whispers on the wind that this is indeed something Lucasfilm is interested in, just more broadly rebuilding the Jedi Order, a Star Wars story where someone actually tries to rebuild the Jedi religion as one that allows for attachment. Robinson went on to clarify that nothing was set in stone, as Lucasfilm has a history of them playing with ideas and discarding them. She says, I mean, we should be clear, you could fill many football stadiums with all the ideas that Lucasfilm has thought they wanted to do and didn't end up doing it. Right. So that doesn't mean it's going to happen. So now that we have set the stage for this topic specifically, I mean, we can just go for it and debate. I mean, I don't know if you guys want to do like we get an allocated amount of time or whatever. We can do that for another debate. But I know me and Lunga for sure on the.
Oh, the lines are pretty clear here. Top half of the screen, guys, doesn't want this. Yes. The bottom half does. Yes. So it's pretty clear.
There we go.
That the bottom two are sequel fans and the top two are not, even though I wouldn't consider us like haters, right, like some people are. But yes, Palpamemes and Goldman, they are for this new Jedi Order. Myself and Lunga are absolutely not. And should we do it where like we each side kind of gives like their opening stances on this, so we're not just all reacting to everyone else's?
Yeah,
like,
just go around the table first, and then we'll.
Well, I mean, I would say to keep it fair, instead of going clockwise, just go you, Goldman, me, Palpa, because that way.
Okay.
Have me go last.
He always wants to go last.
Hold on. All right. So he wants to go last. Hold on. Well, there you go. Okay. Yeah. So Star Wars only, Palpamemes, me, Goldman. There you go.
Fair enough. I'm
triggered, but I'll love it.
So I'll definitely try to keep, or hopefully we can all try to keep the, at least arguments, a little bit short in time, just so we're not each giving like a 10-minute argument. I'm going to say the reason I do not want this is kind of a history of Star Wars itself. I have felt that since the original trilogy, the Jedi were set out to be something specific, and they sounded really cool. They did sound like kind of monks and protectors and guardians of the galaxy, and something everyone strived to be. Prequels came out, the Jedi were like just one of the dumbest things ever. I mean, they were made to be very stupid, and the Clone Wars was used to kind of address their stupidity and show that they've lost their ways. And what I dislike about the prequels establishing that is that the sequels doubled down on this, and they specifically were like, yeah, the Jedi are stupid, Luke has given up on them, basically everyone should just kind of move past the Jedi. The Lucasfilm over the past 20 years have made it very clear to me that the Jedi are very, very stupid. So to me, rebuilding the Jedi Order, and let's, by the way, this entire debate is about it being post Rise of Skywalker. Even if it is without Rey, let's say it's 100 years from now, but even if it is with Rey specifically, I dislike this idea because this will now be the second time that we're supposedly rebuilding the Order in history. And when you look at Star Wars timeline, at least something like the Sith, when the Sith have rebuilt their Order, it went from the Sith having an empire to the Sith being the Brotherhood of Darkness, or the Sith becoming the rule of two, if you just want to go based off of canon. They actually evolved their philosophy, and I know the new Jedi Order is trying to do that as well if they're going to allow attachments, but I want to talk about the attachments part of it later, at least on my side. But I just want to say that I don't like this idea because I feel like Luke had this opportunity to rebuild the Jedi Order. I feel like it is what I've been complaining about for a while about the sequels, of starting exactly where we have been before, where we're just redoing everything. The sequels and the original trilogy are both about this single Jedi being taught by the former master and becoming the next generation of the Jedi, and becoming the next Jedi master to teach the next generation of the Jedi, and pretty much determine where that order should go. It seems incredibly insulting to have this character of Rey, who not only has never really trained to be a Jedi, I mean, she had The Last Jedi, but even then, like, I don't think she trained to become a Jedi, and then literally told the last person who was in the Jedi Order, you were wrong, you were stupid, and, you know, you just don't know what you're talking about, even though not really knowing much about the Jedi. So it's weird to me that she would don this new generation. It seems like a bad principle to approach this with a new trilogy. It seems like it wouldn't do well, and that's kind of my the base of my case of why I'm not a fan of the new Jedi Order. I think they had their opportunity. You should move on to better and greener things. And this has always been my issue with the sequel trilogy, is that in terms of world building, they built the foundation on quicksand, and there's nowhere to really go from this point, mainly when it comes to the Jedi. But that's me being a cynic. Palpamemes, you're next. Hit us with your.
I'm just going to know. I'm taking out.
Taking notes. Notepad. Taking notes.
Yeah, I'm going to type.
Goldman's already your guys taking notes. Yeah, so I'm not.
All right.
I'm not
right,
playing
this
game.
This is a debate. I want to make sure I know everyone's points clearly, so when I refute them, I do it correctly.
So only I sympathize with most of your points, except for whenever you say Rey never really trying to be a Jedi. I think it's important to realize that I mean, like, whether you like Rey as a character or not, we can have a whole different discussion on. But something I do notice with Rey is, with her arcs of overcoming her past, being who she truly is, and accepting that and embracing who she is, that's not backed by her past. She was trained for an entire year, over a year with Leia. She had the original Jedi texts. She learned in Rise of Skywalker from Luke Skywalker himself. I don't think it's fair to say that she wasn't trained to become a Jedi, because I mean, that's kind of really big part of her arc, is training to become a Jedi. As for the we should have seen this with Luke part, I agree. I actually agree with that part. I do think it's unfortunate that we couldn't have even gotten this in the sequel trilogy with Luke Skywalker. I'd say like 95% agree with you on that. What I don't agree with is holding off Rey's story because we were upset with how they wrote Luke. And that's a big point I want to bring up, is just because we may or may not like what they did with Luke and how his Jedi Order failed, I don't think that means we should hold off Rey, and especially people like Finn. We shouldn't hold off on their story in the future. I'm not saying it's patching up what they did with Luke. It's different. They're clearly writing Luke how they wrote Luke in Book of Boba Fett, which I was kind of disappointed by, is that he's kind of like the prequel Jedi. He's like Ahsoka. He's like, no attachments. No, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's either this way or this other way. And after episode 6 came out of the Book of Boba Fett, I had the theory that it was simply a test for Grogu, and the end result that we're going to learn in season 3 of Mando would be that Grogu chose both, and Luke allows both attachment and the ways of the Jedi. Clearly, that's not how they're going, so we'll see how that goes about. But this is something that I've wanted to see for a very long time. I really do like Rey as a character. I think she has a very brilliant arc and a very relatable one, and she's a very relatable character in many, many different aspects. And then we can look on to the character of Finn, who I don't think anyone here is going to deny that he was completely underused in Last Jedi. And I'm not going to say underused. I'm going to say his opportunities were taken away in TLJ and Rise of Skywalker. They could have done a lot more with him. That's pretty much a unanimously agreed upon thing. And so I really don't think they should hold these stories or characters back just because we didn't necessarily like what they did earlier on in the stories. Again, it's not making excuses for the way those stories were written. It's simply saying, this is how it was. Okay, what can we do in the future? If this is true with Rey, something I would love to see is have Luke be there. I think Luke was an important aspect of her life, especially in Rise of Skywalker. He taught her a lot of things, good and bad. He was definitely important to her life, and I would love to see him return as a Force ghost, not taking over the show, not like Book of Boba Fett where he shows up and is the entire episode, just subtly whenever she's at her weakest moments. I've always said Rey's a very good self-learner. She's had to teach herself everything to survive on Jakku, but how can she teach someone else? I would like to see her fail at that many, many times with Finn. And who knows? If Grogu's still alive, maybe they find Grogu. There's a lot of opportunities for this with a lot of characters. Are we going to get into story ideas for this? Because I personally have a very big story idea that I've thought of over the past few weeks or so. Is that something you guys are interested in?
Ding, 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 ding. Next round.
We're on.
I'll get into it later. But basically, yes, I really want this to happen. No, I don't think just because we were disappointed with Luke and that kind of story that we should hold back on the characters of Rey and Finn. I like the idea of embracing attachment and saying that there needs to be a balance between that. You can't have it all attachment, no attachment at all. So final thoughts are those.
All right, Longa. No.
All right. Should I open this up like the old Saturday Night Live skits? You know, Palpa memes, you ignorant slut.
Thanks, Michael Scott.
No. You brought up a lot of good points, but what I really heard was, I love this character so much, And you guys are absolutely right about all the bad things did to the character you guys love so much. But let's forget about that so we can see more about
No, we shouldn't hold these new characters back for the sake of being sad over the past character story from these other characters. That's all I'm saying.
I was almost
saying.
Done.
I'm sorry. my apologies.
Yeah, you got to call me this time. Everyone gets uninterrupted introductions.
Yes, I'll mute myself.
It's okay. That is what I heard. And again, I know you like Luke Skywalker. I'm not saying you're a Luke Skywalker hater. You're not one of those, I love Rey, fuck Luke Skywalker. That's not what you like. Luke Skywalker, and I get it. That's Goldman, because he's just a hater. It's like my position on it is not as harsh as Star Wars Only, but I don't want to see this new Jedi Order with Rey yet. And what I mean by yet is we have not gotten a new Jedi Order. Everyone keeps calling, Luke's Jedi Order. We have not gotten Luke's Jedi Order. There was no Jedi Order with Luke Skywalker. He goes through what he goes through in the original trilogy. Now we see he finds Grogu, but then we know he travels for many years, right? Then he finally takes Kylo, what? Kylo is what, 12?
10.
Or 10? 10, right? He takes Ben when he's 10, which is 12 years after Jedi or whatever the hell it is. And he takes him when he's 10. And then for many years, it's just him and Ben. And then finally, before the events of when Kylo destroyed the temple, he just started bringing in students. So he basically had the start of a new Jedi Order, which lasted a year or two, maybe. And then it was gone. There was no Jedi Order by Luke. We did not see that. Then when he becomes Grumpy Luke, and all the other nonsense we see in the sequel trailers. So there was nothing given to us of substance with Luke Skywalker as far as him starting a new Jedi Order. Having Rey do it feels like an infomnia and just feels like a slap in the face that what Luke did really didn't matter except for what she learned from him in the sequel trilogies. And other than that, there wasn't anything. Luke has no import anymore. I feel that they should do some kind of limited series, some kind of something where we see the positives and the growth that Luke did with the Jedi Order, make it less of a footnote for the sequels, okay? Less of a plot device for the sequels, and give us a good threshed out story with that, to where that becomes not just a footnote, it becomes a foundation to what someone like Rey will do later. So she's not making a new Jedi Order, she's continuing what Luke started. And to me, I think that would make more sense. And that has to come first. You can't just jump right to this one here, because that has to happen first. We have to see that first. We have to digest that first. We have to be comfortable with that first before we get to what Rey does and what Rey is going to do. As far as the items you said something about Rey. She embraced her past. What past? What past? She had no past. She knew nothing. She was nobody. She grew up on a planet I wrote it down.
Imagine having to use paper, unlike me, I can use an iPhone.
I know.
Can I follow up on that point then?
I'm 47.
What I actually meant. I meant embracing the fact that her past doesn't matter. That's probably that's what I meant to say, is that her past doesn't define who she is.
Three movies of trying to find out something that eventually doesn't matter. Great.
When you're watching it from the point of view of Rey, it always mattered to her. So naturally, they're going to convey that to the audience that it does matter to her. So
but it didn't
have
matter.
To
as a,
that.
It didn't matter as a plot point. Just
that's the arc. I would argue that it is a very major plot point. Her being a Palpatine. I mean, that's the Rise of Skywalker is kind of a big foundation of that film is
trash.
Palpatine's granddaughter.
Trash one. But we need if you want to honor Luke, if you want to honor the legacy of Star Wars, this, I'm not someone saying fuck Rey, I hate Rey, I don't want to see Rey. She could be a good character. Give us some foundation, goddammit. Give us some real foundation that isn't forget the past, kill it if you have to. Okay, give us a real fucking foundation, and then maybe it'll be more palatable and more acceptable.
And I like
that's
that.
My opening. That's my ultimate argument.
All right, my turn.
Yes.
All right. This may be a little surprising, but I agree with Lunga for the most part, because the reason I disagree with Star Wars Only is because I think it does a greater disservice to Luke to not continue the Jedi Order after episode 9 than it does if we just never saw anything happen. Now, if it depends on how it is done. If they were to continue the Jedi Order after the Rise of Skywalker, then there are certain things that need to happen. And the most important thing that has to happen, and this is what Lunga said wonderfully, which he said nicely, is that Luke's order cannot be irrelevant. What Luke has done, we need to see Luke's academy or whatever he did before we see anything with Rey, because that's a good point. If we did just see Rey rebuild the Jedi Order and everything about it is, oh, Luke did this wrong, I'm going to do it better, then that is a huge spit in the face to fans like me, and I appreciate the character of Rey. Now, this isn't a debate about whether or not Rey is a good character. It's about what should happen after the Rise of Skywalker. And another big caveat is that Rey cannot be a Jedi Master. The thing with Luke, and this is evident in what we've seen so far in The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett, and a little bit in the lore, is that Luke didn't really start his Jedi Order until a fair amount of time after the Return of the Jedi. It's been said that Ben Solo was his first student. I guess Grogu could have been that, not anymore. Ben Solo was his first student. That took place about 11 to 10 years after Return of the Jedi. And then after that, yes, he got a few students, as we've seen in a few of the comics. There was that one Kylo Ren comic. So he did have something. Now, we don't know anything about it. We don't really know the personalities of the characters. We know a few here and there, but we don't really know what happened. So the most important thing that needs to be done with a potential rebirth of the Jedi Order after the Rise of Skywalker, it's that whatever Luke did should be the foundation of what comes after. I think a good, now this is a vague story point, whatever, is that for whatever reason, after Return of the Jedi and before The Force Awakens, the galaxy still, in a way, hates the Jedi. They still blame the Jedi for the rise of the Empire in the first place. So maybe a lot of people are like, listen, Luke, we get it. You helped with the rebellion, but we don't want the Jedi Order back because of all the damage they caused beforehand. And then the sequels happen. Luke sacrifices himself to save the galaxy in a way. And then what they should have done in The Rise of Skywalker is shown how much that sacrifice actually meant to the galaxy. So then now after The Rise of Skywalker, people realize, oh, what the Jedi are important because of what Luke did. Because of what Luke did, the Jedi are so important. So now we want to see Rey potentially continue that. So everything that Rey needs to do afterwards, for one, she can't rebuild the Jedi Order right away because she's not ready. Two, she can't be a master because she's just not even remotely close to being a master. So what they need to do is maybe have a few of the Jedi that were part of Luke's academy not die. You know, Luke did say that Kylo slaughtered a few of the Jedi, and I don't know what the exact quote was, but and the rest followed him or the rest disappeared. Luke doesn't entirely know what happened. So maybe some of the Jedi disappeared, some of Luke's advisors or whatever, and then they come back to help Rey. Now, you could ask, where were they during the sequels? Well, the sequels only, for one, took place during a year. So you can't say, where were they during The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi? Those happened right after the First Order came to the galaxy. And then you could say, with The Rise of Skywalker, the Resistance was nothing. They were hiding. It's not easy to just find them.
And it was quite a bit of years, actually, from the destruction of his temple until The Force Awakens. What was it, like 15 years or something like that? Wasn't it?
6 years.
Was it 6 years? Because Kylo was a grown man. He was a kid when the Jedi Temple was destroyed. And when he was Kylo Ren.
6 years passed between the night he destroyed his temple to The Force Awakens.
Okay.
So, yeah. So the Jedi, those other Jedi, those advisors could be somewhere else. And then they could help advise Rey going forward. Because there needs to be a continuation. I agree that if there's like a hard reset with the Jedi Order, then that's bad because it makes Luke seem irrelevant. We should have Luke build his Jedi Order. Something goes wrong. You know, there's a big problem. A bunch of Jedi die. A bunch of Jedi disappear, whatever. And then they come back afterwards in a way to honor Luke and build off what he did. And I don't like the notion that Luke's Jedi Order cannot be the same as the prequels. People say that the Book of Boba Fett laid the foundations of him being like the prequel Jedi. I disagree. I didn't see him giving Grogu that ultimatum as him being, oh, I'm super anti-attachments. The way I saw it is that he could tell in Grogu's heart that he didn't really want to be a Jedi. And if you have a student like that who doesn't want to be there, then that's when you say, hey, do you want to leave and go somewhere else? I think that was a very mature decision by Luke, and it shows the progression of his Jedi philosophy from the ones from the prequels. So I kind of went on a bunch of different points there. So in short, yes, they should continue the Jedi Order after the Rise of Skywalker, but certain things need to happen. And the most important thing that needs to happen is that it builds off what Luke did, not completely reset it.
I think me, you, and Lung are on pretty level playing fields for the most part. Because I definitely agree with what you said there,
Goldman. What I see here right now is me, Star Wars Only, and Goldman now are pretty much against you. That's mm-hmm. what I want.
I'm agreeing with you.
Goldman just did a heel turn.
That's why I'm in the corner.
But Star Wars Only, if Luke like builds his Jedi Order right and it gets completely destroyed, right, none of it even matters, and then the Rise of Skywalker happens, you know, Rey's the last Jedi, and then nothing comes after it, don't you feel like that's a bigger disservice to Luke and his legacy than if they did recreate his Jedi Order and try to honor what he did?
No, the biggest disservice to Luke's legacy was clearly The Last Jedi, anyways. I mean...
Well, that's happened. We're not debating that. We're debating what's going on.
Yeah, after. Yeah. But see, that's what I've said. That's what I'm trying to get at. But with my issue with kind of mainly rebuilding the Jedi Order is I don't know what almost authority anyone has past Luke to really rebuild it. He was the last of the previous generation. He was taught by Yoda, who was the Grand Master. I mean, it's not like he was just... It'd be different if he only had learned from Obi-Wan. It's like he learned from one of the best, for sure. But Yoda represented what the Jedi were for many generations and you know, dynasties, pretty much. And so him learning from Yoda and learning from Obi-Wan and then having that connection to Anakin, his father, and everything like that, like just dealing with all that, he has a unique position of knowing what the old order was like in order to start this new one. You know, you have this with religion. I mean, don't we go through reformations? You have the Old Testament and then you have the New Testament, and that, you know, began Christianity and Catholicism. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know about all the religions in the world, but still most religions have reformations in their time that let them evolve. Luke was in a unique situation to bring that reformation to the Jedi Order. Now, we don't really know if he did or didn't. Now, we can use the Book of Boba Fett for some context of that, of him, you know, talking about attachments and whatnot. But now we have, let's say it's Rey and Finn, and let's say they have been working with the Jedi. And one thing I dislike is, and I'm not saying I disagree with you, Palpatine, but I dislike this notion of Rey reading the text from The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, and then suddenly she has the authority to lead or bring a reformation to this new Jedi Order. Just because I read a book on philosophy and Christianity doesn't mean I should bring the new reformation if I'm the last Christian on earth. You know, there are certain values that we have that I think that had to be carried on, and I don't think she has that yet from the Jedi. And it doesn't matter with the text or not. I think for her and for Finn, they don't have the context of what the Jedi previously stood for. And also kind of the ignorance of like the whole attachment thing. They don't know what Luke knows about like the attachments of Anakin had with basically the attachment issue was proven right by the Jedi. But I think that's something we should probably talk about a little bit later, because it makes this more of a
conflict. I mean, it could be argued that Luke had less when he started, you know, I mean, he really didn't have anything. You know,
Ahsoka.
I mean, now we see that they just gave us that. Now
we don't know how long they've been in
contact. Weeks ago.
That changes a lot of things. That really does.
It does. But I can, like I said, I can. It's feasible to me that with Rey being the only Jedi at this point, she would have a feeling of responsibility of, well, I may not be the best candidate to do this, but I'm the only candidate.
Who else is going to do this?
Right. Yeah. So I can see that. Now, if they temper it and actually do it right, show her making mistakes, show her having students that turn even. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Have him give up on her. Don't have him turn. Have him give up on her. Hey,
show her make mistakes. Show her needing Finn for support. Like, I'm fucking up. What am I doing here? I don't know. Why am I doing this?
That's what the Lego Holiday Special was about, by the way.
You guys are going to like my idea.
No, you should watch
it. It was also about retconning every Star Wars event ever.
It sounds like it's answering all your needs, Lunga. You just got to watch
it. Come on, man. No. Just accept it.
Hang on. But this is the Jedi Order, right? This kind of goes into my real issue with this whole rebuilding thing, is if it's post-Rise of Skywalker, this is all going to be from the basis of Rey deciding things. The Jedi Order decided to, or they decided, the Jedi Council, to make Yoda the Grand Master. They kind of decided their future. They decided the code. It's they, not just one person, they. And so I really dislike that all of the future values and the morals and the philosophy and the standard that Jedi will have post Rise of Skywalker will be dictated by one girl who had a year with Leia, which, good, you know, that's something. But
Obi-Wan decided that Luke was going to be the future of the Jedi Order.
I'm not saying that's right. That's my thing, is that I don't think that's the difference too. Luke wasn't bringing a reformation to the Jedi Order. Seemingly, from what we've seen so far, he was just continuing those same values and the same code. And so with Rey doing it, it's literally like, I'm not saying it's the same, but it's literally like if I took a Bible and I'm like, I'm the last Christian on earth, I'm going to throw this motherfucker off the cliff and I'm going to teach it the way I want to. It's like, no. You have generations and generations of things that pre-establish it.
Can I jump in here real quick?
Please.
Because you bring up like she's just read books and stuff. Okay, I get what you're saying, but like take the Bible. I'll use her Bible analogy. So imagine if I was the last Christian on earth and I had one of the first Bibles ever written. And on top of that, I had one of Jesus's disciples teaching me about Jesus and what he stood for and how it actually worked. That's kind of what Rey is with Leia and Luke, I would say. I mean, Leia and Luke, they're the children of Anakin Skywalker, the literal embodiment of the Force, space Jesus. So on that, it brings up a good point where I 100% agree. She shouldn't just have a very successful Jedi Order. I like that idea, Lunga, where it's like, have people give up on her, have her screw up terribly. That's why I go back to my original point. You know, she can, sure, she's a good self-learner and all that, but how is she teaching others? And so something I would really like is for Finn to be the better of the teachers. And then also an interesting story idea that I've seen thrown around a lot is Grogu. We all know Grogu is going to live 900 years old or whatever. Where is he in this story? He's not going to get killed as Ben. We know that. He's Mandalorian. What is he? Is he the Mandalorian Jedi? I mean, what if
Tar Vizsla?
You know, how about have Rey mess up, have Finn help her a little bit, have some conflicts go on with the her, hey, how about this? Let's have her students find out that she's not a Skywalker. She actually comes from Palpatine. That could be a huge moment for her character and a huge struggle that her past arc just kind of gets brought back up again with her own students. Is like, how can we trust this person? Have her go to the New Republic and be like, hey, we're trying to get this set in order. They simply don't trust her, which is very fair. If the son of Hitler said, hey, I want to run for president, I think people are going to be a little bit biased against him. So only I get your point about like the whole, just because she's read the Jedi text, I get that. But she's also was specifically trained by Leia. And Leia, I understand they didn't show a whole lot of it simply because of the unfortunate passing of Carrie Fisher. So I think we do have to give them a little bit of leeway on that, a little bit of excuse on that. But again,
I don't want to be, there's a lot of side switching here. But I got to be the voice of reason. Star Wars only. Luke, if you think... The way they presented it, like it or not, we can argue the semantics of did they present it well. They actually imply she got more training than Luke did. I mean, he had Obi-Wan for what? A hot minute? And then he had Yoda. That how long was he on? Well, how long was he on Dagobah before he left?
3 weeks.
You know? And then he left. And when he comes back, he dies. He literally had altogether in total 3 weeks and a day of training.
And they released a comic. They recently released a comic. Since we're being objective here, they recently released a comic that Luke taught himself with the way in the ways of the Jedi somehow. Don't ask me how, because I don't know. Somehow, between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So
right. I mean, the argument isn't the time frames. The time frames are good. They gave her enough time to say that she's what it is. We didn't get the substance. We didn't get the success and the failures for her to get there.
I can agree.
Even though it was a little bit of time, we saw the failures live on 4K.
I would
in the original trilogy.
I would still argue that Rey's failure in The Last Jedi is when she completely and utterly gives up on herself because her parent figure Leia just passed away.
Doesn't fail anyone. Just fails herself.
Well, failing herself is also failing the galaxy. If you want to be that,
What? What were the consequences of that? There were no consequences.
There would have been consequences had Luke helped her.
Luke's failure, the consequences were he lost his hand. His best friend was frozen, possibly never to be found again.
She hurt her boyfriend's car.
I mean,
We can talk about. Well,
there
okay,
was
I,
no consequences. To her failure.
I understand. I would also argue that her almost killing Ben Solo, the consequence of that was Leia being forced to sacrifice herself and giving her life.
We're getting a little.
You
want to
talk about?
Here.
If you want to talk about consequences,
like the Rey situation.
We're not here to debate.
It's inevitable.
Now, I want to make a very important point that I just want to emphasize, and I think this is where I agree a little bit more with Star Wars Only. Rey cannot be the one who's in charge of this new Jedi Order. And based off of what we've seen from the character, I don't think it's in her character to do so. Because as much as a lot of people hate her, Rey herself seems like someone who would try her best to honor what Luke and Leia did before. I mean, there's little moments in The Rise of Skywalker, like when the Falcon arrives back on the Resistance base in the beginning of the movie, and Rey's just like, Han's ship, what'd you do to Han's ship? So she's like, oh, it's still Han's ship to her. And there's other moments where she gives Leia back the lightsaber because she's like, oh, I'm not ready for this. I don't deserve it. I'm not ready. And then literally the end of the movie, she takes the name Skywalker because of how much she respects these people that came before. Now, you can argue if that makes sense or not, but that's probably her reasoning. So I don't think it would be in Rey's character to just say, oh, I'm going to throw out whatever Luke did and whatever he accomplished in these 30 years to do my own, to create my own philosophy. And Rey's also just not that educated in that way. She grew up in a desert her whole life. What the hell does she know about teaching other people? So Luke, at least, you know, before he started his Jedi Order, had time, especially with his friends. He spent time with the Rebellion and then whatever has been going on between the Mandalorian and Return of the Jedi. So
also, Luke did not teach her anything about no attachments. There was no implications to that in the sequel trilogy. It wasn't like he was trying to teach her Jedi way.
Yeah, and this is another direction I really hope they don't go in, and that's that Luke's like his philosophy of his Jedi Order was wrong. There's no evidence in the canon that suggests that Luke's Jedi Order was exactly like the prequels, and that's why it led to the downfall of Ben Solo. That's not true. You can argue what we saw in Book of Boba Fett is that. That's fair. But just off of the sequels in The Last Jedi, it could be argued that Luke did maybe embrace attachments or whatever and just failed Ben Solo in a certain way, made a mistake, and Ben Solo reacted to that mistake and killed a bunch of people. It kind of sounds like I'm downplaying the mistake. It's not. Luke made a big mistake, but let's not act like his whole philosophy of the Jedi was wrong because he made a mistake with Ben Solo. So
They could easily fix this. And I tell you, and I'll tell you how. We got all those years that I said that we need a Luke series that you agreed with me, Goldman, right? If we gave some kind of Luke story. All those years. People who want Mara Jade, I know they won't be happy with this. They'll say, it's still bad. Fuck that. Don't want this. Listen, all those years, like we see him with Grogu telling Grogu, you know, you need to make a choice. And people are a little angry about that, right? That was a very young Luke, not that long after a Return of the Jedi with nobody to lead him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We could see him going on his travels. We could see him meeting Mara Jade. We could see him falling in love. We could see him changing that whole philosophy, marrying her, and then something happens to her before he starts the Jedi Order. So you could have that whole, it's very short, you could have that whole story, that whole arc with him and love and Mara Jade and have it end tragically, which would play into his fears when he gets to Kylo and why that could be a catalyst to why what's happening with Ben is scaring him so much. And that would really flesh out the story. It would really make his decisions make sense. You know what I mean? So you could play all that into a narrative and make a good story out of that. But we need that first. If they jump right to this Rey story, it's garbage.
Agreed. Especially if she's a Jedi master or a teacher. She can help Finn in some ways, teach him a little bit, you know, how to lift rocks or whatever. But she can't be creating her own philosophy. I think that's does a great disservice to Luke.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think we should see Luke's order first and how that thrives. But again, I go back to my point. That's why I would, if this show is about Rey,
Star Wars Only, we win.
No. Let me finish. That's why I go back to my point of this is why we should see Luke, Force Ghost Luke, being a very important aspect of Rey when she's attempting to rebuild this Jedi Order. Goldman, you say like, you know, she was going to be denying what Luke's teachings were, but what Lunga said is kind of true. He never really told her about attachments. He never really taught her that attachments were bad. So I wouldn't say that her embracing attachments is saying there's a good balance amongst attachments. I don't think that'd be going against anything she was taught because I mean, literally, let's just look at the relationship between her and Leia. I mean, that they're attached. That's very, very personable. I mean, she looks at her
as
her mother.
Do we have a time frame of how long she was on Octu with him? Was it a couple days, 2 days, 3 days?
With Luke?
I think it was a couple days.
Yeah. A few days.
And The Last Jedi seemed to be a couple days.
A few days, and we saw, what, 5-10 minutes of screen time of it, right? But that was good 72 hours.
Way longer than that. Way longer than
More with the flashbacks and all that, like the story and the dialogue.
But you could fill it out. You could literally, in this kind of Luke series or leading into a Rey series, you could fill out where they're having conversations about this stuff. And he could tell her the story of Mara Jade and how he and Grogu and how he changed his ideas and attachment. You know, and that would be like a 10-minute, 15-minute narrative.
But long my issue with this is that this is what I've criticized so much about anything post-prequels, is that the Clone Wars doubled down on the Jedi being stupid during the prequel era as a way to explain bad writing and George Lucas not really knowing what to do with the Jedi during the prequels other than make them stupid. The Clone Wars was like, yes, they're stupid. And then it pretty much seemed like Luke Skywalker went to Earth, watched the prequels, and was like, oh, yeah, I agree. They're stupid. And in the sequels, they doubled down on the Jedi being stupid. My issue with them doing like a Luke Skywalker series to explain what's happening between the Return of the Jedi and whenever he burns his temple or, you know, turns on Ben is that that is kind of doing what the Clone Wars has done and every other piece of Star Wars literature and canon and everything, which is trying to explain something that has a fault. And instead of just admitting that there's a fault and kind of moving on, it tries to over-explain it. And my issue, and this is something I've noticed some people complain about with Luke being in The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett, is that it's hard to be excited for this character or really be all that invested in what's going on, whether it be good or bad, is because we know how the story ends. We know that he goes from this, you know, optimistic person to someone who will literally give up on his own family. And so it's very weird for me to think of them using him to explain more about his Jedi Order, specifically when in this situation, we're not even talking about his Jedi Order. His Jedi Order is irrelevant. It's now the generation that's after. That's my big issue.
It's not irrelevant.
Well, I think it is irrelevant because if we're talking about the next generation that is going to be Rey and her influence, we had our opportunity with Luke. Okay, so it's kind of like you can't. We're talking about a new trilogy of movies based on the Jedi Order that Rey is going to start. What Luke did, it has some influence on her for sure, but he was disassociated with the Jedi pretty much the entire time he was alive dealing with, the entire time he was alive dealing with her. It wasn't until he was a Force ghost that he was like, okay, you need to be a Jedi and this is what we're about. It makes no sense to me to have a series based on him while we're trying to start a new Jedi Order with her in a new trilogy, because then you're trying to do two stories at once when the entire time all we wanted was Luke's.
I said do that first and then move into her series.
Do Luke's story first, yes.
Right. I did post to you like at the beginning, because me and Yellow were talking about this morning, like what if they did a Godfather 2-ish kind of story where the series was 50-50. Like half the time it runs in parallels. You see Luke's story and then you see Rey's story in parallels because she knows the story from
Luke. But then there's no payoff to me. If we do Luke's story, the payoff is not there because we know where this story is going to go inevitably. We know it's not like the prequels where the payoff is seeing Anakin Skywalker become Darth Vader. For Luke's series, the payoff is seeing this Jedi Order be built, but the sad reality is that it's not going to last. And in The Last Jedi and in the burning and all that, we don't even see his students go through stuff.
Wouldn't more context, more story building, more world building leading up to that, giving it more impact, wouldn't that make it better for you?
110%, but then again, you should have done that with the three movies that you had.
Well, you can't say should have. We're talking about right now.
Should have, could have, would have. They didn't.
But that's
how do we make it better now?
We're not talking about Luke's Jedi Order anymore. We're talking about this next generation that Rey is going to start. So that's why I'm saying Luke's is pretty much irrelevant, because what connection does Rey have? She has the books, but did Luke write in those books to tell her what his order was like?
That's why I said it should be very important that there is someone that was there with Luke that will be there with Rey as well. Someone that we just didn't see during the events of the sequels. Kind of like how Ahsoka was.
He has 3 days with her on Octu. Leia has a year with her. Then we could have Force Ghost stuff when she in the years after Rise of Skywalker. You could flesh a lot of that out with that storytelling. But it needs to be told. It needs to be told. You can't just jump to Rey and doing something.
And I agree with your notion, Star Wars Only, that the two Jedi Orders, like, if Rey just restarts her own order, then it makes Luke's Jedi Order irrelevant. They can't do that. They have to make what Rey does, she spends however she learns it, whether it be from Leia herself before she died, whether it be from Luke as a Force ghost, whether it be from something she read, or whether it be from someone who was alive for Luke's academy that was also there for Rey. Whatever Rey does needs to be a foundation off of what Luke did. So whatever Rey wants to do can't be done without what Luke did. This way it makes what we're seeing right now relevant. It's more of a continuation. Like, there was a big speed bump, you know, when Kylo Ren turned to the dark side and killed half the students. Because that's what Luke said. Luke said, we don't even really know the payoff of that line in The Last Jedi, where he said Kylo Ren slaughtered some of the students and took the rest away or whatever. What happened to those rest? We don't know. Luke doesn't know what happened to them. They could be off somewhere else. They could just be hiding from Kylo Ren or the New Republic, because they just don't want to be involved with the Jedi anymore. So maybe they come back and help out Rey. This way it's more of a continuation, and what Luke did actually matters.
Right, as long as they tie it together. But I do want to comment. You showed that one comment, Star Wars Only. I do want to touch on this real quick, if it's not too much of a divergence. I get tired of this. I do. Nothing personal, Romain, but I get tired of this. It's just like, consume, consume, consume. Don't ask questions. Just like it. Consume, consume. Don't ask questions. Just like it. I'm sorry if I demand a goddamn fucking good storytelling. Okay, I'm sorry if I demand it. It's not just with Star Wars. It's with anything I watch. I will make this observation. I do it with Marvel stuff. I do it with DC stuff. I do it with anything I watch. I am a writer. I have published 2 comic books. I have published a fantasy novel. I like fucking good storytelling. And I want to see good storytelling. And this, just ignore bad storytelling and just enjoy what you see and just accept it, to me, is lazy. And it's, frankly, cheapening storytelling to me. It's cheapening stories.
Because in a way, I just want to give my context as someone who likes The Last Jedi. I think they established enough for that specific story. But if we're talking about the wider scope of the galaxy and what Luke's philosophy was on the Order and stuff like that, then I would love to see more. We're not trying to see more of Luke because we want to see why he's a grumpy person in The Last Jedi. We want to see more because what was his philosophy like? What kind of future was he? How was he with other students? And if once we get those answers to those questions, then we can see the story going forward after The Rise of Skywalker. So it's extra materials in Star Wars has always helped. If it wasn't for extra materials, the prequels would be borderline irrelevant right now because people would probably still be shitting on them just as much as they were 10 years ago. So we're not saying make extra materials to make the movies better. We're saying let's make extra materials so we can make the stories of the future significantly better. And if it helps the movies, that's great.
Right.
Yeah, and Longa, I think, and this could go both ways, but I think he kind of misinterpreted what he was saying with that. I think what he was saying was that, and this is obviously his opinion to him, that there is enough explanation to Luke and Last Jedi and the impact of that within the film.
Oh, you know
itself.
What? For the podcast readers, let's read it because we didn't read it. For the podcast listeners, the comment was, I don't get what people need extra materials to explain why Luke was a grumpy old man in The Last Jedi. Just watch the movie. It's self-sufficient. And my argument was, it's not. You just consume. It wasn't self-sufficient. It's still the same sentiment.
Right. I was just saying, it sounded like you kind of maybe misinterpreted that a little bit, what he was saying was that there is enough information going on with the movie, whether you agree with that or not. I don't think it's a matter of just consuming like that whole meme. I think it's a matter of self-perception of the film itself.
Sure. And he can be wrong about it. Everyone's entitled to be wrong.
Going around the room, at least, I'm still saying I do not want Rey to build a new Jedi Order, and
agreed,
more or less specifically her doing it by herself. I think it should be with like a new Jedi Council. Lunga, Palp Memes, Goldman, have your stances changed? Do you want her to build a new order or not? Nothing else kind of beyond that, but we'll talk about the attachment thing after this, but yes or no, do you want Rey to build a new order?
Dude, I want her to be involved with building a new order. I don't want her to be the person leading the order by herself.
I want her to try and I want her to fail, and that then comes Finn, Grogu, and then obviously Luke Skywalker himself to help bring those the impact of it back. So yes.
When you say, do you want her to, that implies this is my goal. I need Rey to do it. No, it's not that I want her to. I'd be perfectly fine if she doesn't, and years later they do a Ninth Jedi kind of thing. I'm perfectly fine with that as well. So it's not that I want her to. But if that is where they're going, because they've already established canon with this sequel trilogy, sorry guys, it's not going away. It's not being retconned. It's here to stay. So they established this. As a Star Wars fan, if I'm going to say I'm a Star Wars fan, I can't be one of those that says, I'm a Star Wars fan, except I ignore that this happened. When the same company who made it is going to continue making properties for Star Wars. I can't do that unless I just give up on Star Wars completely and never watch anything again. But if I'm going to continue watching, I got to accept the reality that that is the canon. So if they're going to go this route and that is the future and they're going to be dabbling with post-sequel content with Rey and Finn, you have to do your due diligence. If you're going to go that route, do your due diligence. Don't do what you did in the sequels. Give us more. Give us more context. Give us more fleshing out. Give us more stories to make it matter more to the people that weren't happy with the sequel trilogy. The people who were happy with the sequel trilogy will be fine because they're going to get what they want. Plus, they're getting more context to it, and it should make them happier, right? I mean, it's
not the Raylos.
Right, the Raylos, right. So to me, that's a win-win, right? If you flesh it out, except for the hardliners who are like saying, fuck Disney, I don't accept anything, boycott, I'm never watching anything again. Those are already gone, right? They're not watching The Mandalorian. They're not watching any of this thing. I really think they are watching The Mandalorian. They're just lying about it. But they're, you know, those are their lost causes already. But the people who are still invested in Star Wars, happy or not, this would give at least a majority of the fandom some kind of context if it's done right. So we need all that. We need more fleshing out of Luke. We need to make Luke's story post Return of the Jedi more relevant to the future story and make it his foundation that leads to what Rey does, rather than Rey says, oh, this happened, he fucked up, I'm doing something better.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is no matter what side of the pendulum you're on, it's all going to come down to the middle, where it is going to make the overall story better. For the people that don't like Rey's arc, okay, you can make Rey a very, very great character in their eyes easily. If people hated Anakin Skywalker in the prequels and then the Clone Wars made him a good character, mind you, I like him in both the show and the movie, so I'm coming from an unbiased point of view, the same can easily be done with Rey. Mm-hmm. If you didn't like what Luke did in The Last Jedi, the only way to fix that is to completely retcon and change that. So I'm not going to act like to those people who hated Luke in The Last Jedi, which I sympathize with, even though I don't agree to an extent. There's a ways to make the overall story better. So in my opinion, yeah, it is a win-win scenario. Again, you guys brought up the Raylos. Ben is dead. He's not coming back. This is Rey's story. This from now on is Rey's story. And there's a very, very good way that you two, Goldman and Lunga, brought up about including Luke and the overarching story of Luke within Rey's story itself. And I think that's necessary. Luke is a huge part of her character. Right. So yeah, I'm with you there. It's no matter what side you're on, like, I think not wanting this is, I don't know. I guess it can come from the point of view of how are you imagining this story to go? Really,
you need to talk to your connections in Lucasfilm and get me a writing gig.
My friend Kathy. No. Yeah. Let me give her a call real quick. Hey, yeah. So Longa brought up this really good point about can I bring up, speaking of Kathy, can I bring up, for those people that are in denial about this even happening, can I bring up the point that like literally 3 or 4 months ago, Daisy Ridley came out and said that the other day during that time frame, she literally sat down and had breakfast with Kathleen Kennedy. Take that as you will, but that just doesn't happen amongst people like that. If Daisy really just so happened to be in good old California, wherever Kathy was, and she's just so happened to have the time with Kathleen to sit down. I mean, I don't know. It seems a little coincidental to me for that to just to be a simple coffee. I don't know. All I'm saying is John Boyega.
What has Kathleen Kennedy been doing that's keeping her so busy? All her movies get canceled.
She's canceling movies. I'm going to bring you guys the hottest take, hotter than the sun. Produced by J.J. Abrams, full creative control, directed by Rian Johnson. Boom. All the things I don't like about the sequels, for the most part, were not J.J.'s decisions or fault.
See, that's where Palpatine memes and I differ so much. I think almost everything I dislike about the sequels is J.J.'s fault, not Rian's. So that's where we're in the two different
camps. So much of that big, especially The Force Awakens. I'd say mostly The Force Awakens. The Rise of Skywalker, surprisingly, from what I've read, he had a lot of creative control. So I can see. Yeah, I can meet you there.
That's what I heard, is that he had a little bit more creative freedom with Rise of Skywalker, so that gave me more confidence about like The Force Awakens. Or like since The Force Awakens, I was like, eh. But I actually kind of think that whatever I heard was kind of inaccurate, just by like the more information that we kind of seemingly get as we get further away from the Rise of Skywalker. But anyways, while Lunga is going to get a drink at this time, I'm going to actually look at the poll that we had on the official Chatooine Instagram, which if you guys do not follow, please go follow us on Instagram. Follow us on
Instagram.
Wait, not Instagram. Twitter. Twitter's where we can do polls. I think we did a poll for Instagram as well, but it didn't really.
You can do Instagram stories.
I can do it on Instagram stories. But looking at the poll, out of 233 people who voted on the poll that we put out two days ago, we asked the question, should Lucasfilm make a new trilogy about rebuilding the Jedi Order? 70% said rebuild the Jedi Order. 30% said let the past die. So to me, I mean, clearly the overwhelming majority is rebuilding the Jedi Order. And this is kind of clear that people want more Jedi. Yes, as you can see on Goldman's phone, people want more Jedi content. I'm not a fan of it being a new Jedi Order established by Rey. But what do you guys think about the big crux of this entire kind of information that we got from the Vanity Fair writer, which is that this is going to be a new order without attachments? With attachments. Without the rule for attachments, that rule about attachment that Jedi have. That is also a unique debate that I will say. It's another thing I don't like about this Jedi Order, the new one, is I don't like the idea of them being okay with attachments. The reason I will say for that is that I feel like the Jedi were actually proven right from Anakin. With Anakin, he fell to the dark side because of his attachments for his mom and then his wife. The Jedi literally predicted all of this.
You're wrong.
You could argue that Anakin fell to the dark side because of the Jedi's restrictions against attachments.
No. This is something that comes from like the Clone Wars and all this stuff, and like this revisionist history that people are making about like that story element. He could have easily gone to Yoda like he did, and he even kind of told Yoda, like, he's like, hey, I'm scared to lose somebody here. And Yoda tells him, like, okay, like, he's like, you know, fearing to lose someone, like, you know, that these are like ways to go to the dark side. And he says, you know, he says like, detach yourself from everything you fear to lose. And you look at someone like Obi-Wan, who really did commit to the no attachments thing. I mean, he told Satine, like, hey, if you would have said the word, I would have gone with you. So, I mean, clearly that he broke it for a minute, but in the end, you can see Obi-Wan's commitment to the Jedi Order. I mean, the Order didn't go that well.
Obi-Wan's failure as a teacher is what caused Anakin. There was a lot of things.
I would say overall Palpatine is the reason.
This is the whole what if scenario, that what if Qui-Gon didn't die and Qui-Gon trained him? Qui-Gon would have seen Palpatine coming from a mile away. He would have seen it way earlier. Course. Obi-Wan had no fucking clue. Nothing. He had no clue what was happening. None of the Jedi did.
He's kind of dumb in the prequels. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Right. And we could say, like, someone like Yoda, the reason why Yoda didn't see it is because of hubris. Right. Yes, that's why Yoda didn't. And even Mace, you could say there was a little bit of hubris there. That's why they didn't see it. But Mace was kind of like iffy. Like, he wanted to trust Anakin and he wasn't sure. You know, he was like, and he started not trusting Palpatine because Mace was the first one not sure what was going on with Palpatine. Right. So, you know, we did see that. If Qui-Gon was there, I'm telling you, he would have been that one dissenter on the council, or because he didn't, well, not the council, because he didn't join. And especially if anyone's read the book, Master and Apprentice, which is a really good book. I really enjoyed Master and Apprentice. It gave us a lot of context of Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is an old school, almost aristocratic kind of Jedi, like, you know, he believes in the old ways and way Qui-Gon was, and even Dooku was like, you guys are nuts with this stuff. What are you doing? You know what I mean? And Obi-Wan was very emotional. He was a very emotional little guy. He was like, you know, all upset about it. Qui-Gon's not giving me attention. He's not giving me enough attention. You know what I mean? I think he doubled down on that to where it's like, no attachments, but at the same time, I'm going to be super attached to you, Anakin, but aloof about it. You know what I mean?
I refuse to believe that the message of the prequels is that attachments are bad, when Return of the Jedi is a story all about how unconditional love can save a person. So no, I do not think that the message of the prequels, I don't believe that the prequels proved the Jedi's philosophy.
Prequels proved the dogmatic, rigid Jedi philosophy is what created Anakin.
No. What created Anakin? I mean, even someone commented about, like, it's him not him having to hide his relationship. It's not him having to hide it. It's him fearing to lose it. I mean, literally, Yoda says in the beginning, your love for your mother, your fear to lose her. You know, it's a stupid saying of like fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering, all that stuff. Like, it's not written well, but that's what my point is here, is that he ultimately fell because of his fear to lose his wife, lose his mom. And as he did lose those things, those attachments to them is what drove him to the dark side, because Palpatine told him, you don't want to lose her. I will show you a way that she can live forever. It is his attachment to her that drives him to the dark side.
But is that the attachment's fault, or is that just a fault in Anakin, that Anakin was destined to fail?
Yeah,
he was destined to fall.
He wasn't destined to fail. He's a chosen one. His destiny was clearly laid out. It's stupid. Hold on. But
is a funny thing. The final destiny was for him to do what he did at the end of Return of the Jedi. But everything that happened was his fate. That his character makeup was that had to lead to that. That's what had to happen. That he had to fall to eventually rise and to do what he did with Luke. That had to happen. That he had to have that kind of personality for that to happen, that he had to have this obsessive compulsive, because that's basically what he gets down to, right? Obsessive compulsive personality he had, almost sociopathic personality that he had, when it came to his thing with Padme. He didn't want to lose it. And even if you know, I know you're saying the attachments cause it, but the attachments didn't cause that. That's a personality flaw. Because there's other people who had attachments who Obi-Wan. Were able to keep them, Obi-Wan, who didn't fall. That's a personality thing. So it wasn't the attachments that did it. It was the personality flaw. And it was the whole thing about the council worried about bringing him in, where Qui-Gon saw something and they're like, I don't know, this may not be good.
Can I jump in here real quick? Because I think this is what I really want, if this post Rise of Skywalker thing is, you need to find balance in the attachments. You need to find a balance. The Force is all about balance. There needs to be a balance between being attached and also letting go. It's not the problem with the Jedi and the prequels. It was, you just need to let everything go, right? And so that's why I was kind of disappointed if Luke continues on this path. And this is why I wish that in Book of Boba Fett, he got to choose both. Because I wish Luke kind of gave Grogu the option of, you can choose both. You can be balanced with being attached to Din Djarin, your father. And then you can also be balanced with training as a Jedi. And so I think going forward, I think that'd be the best way to do it, is to say, no, don't be fully attached to where the point of letting, like the potential of losing this person is going to turn you to the dark side. It's be balanced in it, right? No one wants a relationship where your significant other is like super clingy and never lets you go, blah, 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 right? It's simple as that. It's like, there needs to be a balance. And so I think that's
how it goes. Your balance is a nice term. Cause here's the thing. There's a difference between having attachments and cherishing those attachments and longing for those attachments.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a big difference there. Like, you can have an attachment and say, you know what? I care about this person, or I care about these people. They're important to me. I have a duty and obligation to the galaxy, but these are still people I care about, and I want to make sure that they're safe. But there's a difference where the longing part of attachments means you do a Superman scenario, right? It's a Superman effect where Lois Lane becomes more important than the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And that's where the problem comes in. That's what DC, Injustice. That's what led to Injustice. That's why Superman became a dictator. That's why he became Darth Vader in Injustice world. That's why he was killing people, because of Lois Lane. He literally did the same kind of turn that Anakin did. It wasn't just really about the attachment. It was about the longing for attachment, and that attachment becoming more important.
It became a possession, as Akira says. That's the difference. Yeah. Became a possession.
Well, yeah. I think we all kind of gave our takes. You guys have any final thoughts on them continuing the new Jedi Order post Rise of Skywalker with the rule of you can have attachments? Because, I mean,
I do want to say one more thing, and it has to do with the wording of whatever this report is, that this new Jedi Order, whatever Rey potentially would do, has a focus on attachments. Because when you say that Rey's order will have a focus on attachments, that's implying that Luke's order didn't, and I don't like that. I want Luke's order, not to say focus on attachments, but to embrace them. Just don't embrace possession and longing and desiring these attachments, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Could one say him taking on Ben as his first student, being his nephew, is an attachment?
It is.
Yeah, all I'll say is hopefully my stupid billboard pays off if this happens. I can look all back and I can go back to those comics on all those trolls and haters who are telling me off. Oh, I want to know how they're doing if this comes true. So I'm a little petty about the situation. I'll admit it.
If the story does
come... So how much... How much of that billboard was out of your pocket, and how much was Kathleen's check?
It was about 99% to one, 1% being out of mine.
I will say this: if this series does happen, you will see this guy in this picture.
Oh shit!
Show
here we go.
Oh, do you mean me and Goldman?
That guy will show.
All of us are going to be petty about it. We've all said the sequels are never getting retconned. That's the dumbest thing to ever think. So I think all going to be kind of petty about it.
No, but we have extra stake in this because we're the actual sequel fans, and especially me because I'm a toxic motherfucker. So.
Yeah. I'm a little nicer.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to talk about the we have two more topics, even though one of them is really, really small. But this next one is the rumor of a High Republic show being in the works at Lucasfilm. And this seems to have picked up some steam recently in terms of like credible journalists who, unlike me, actually don't get their scoops wrong. Our friends at LRM Online corroborated the story with Cinelinks and Bestman Bulletin. And like I said, these are easily probably among the top five like correct scoopers in Star Wars. So it's a good sign that this could be true. But let me just read the article from LRM Online. They say, today we are backing up a rumor that Star Wars The High Republic show is set to film in June. And they say that this is a story that they've been developing for some time and that they have been involved. To begin with, there was a rumor that a mysterious movie was coming, and or mystery movie, and that was the High Republic movie that they thought it was, but apparently that's not the case anymore. But there's clues that a new show is being filmed. Production Weekly has a new Star Wars show set in June with the working title Grammar Rodeo. And they say that Cinelinks, Jordan's Mason, has already said that this is the High Republic project that they were talking about previously. Today they're backing him up and saying that their own sources are saying similar thing, and that they're, when they asked them, their source said, there's a Star Wars series filming around May, December in Manhattan Beach. It's a High Republic series. Working title is Grammar Radio. And they said they got it like mixed up between rodeo and radio or something like that. But you can also see that Bestman Bulletin have covered the story here, and they say that they have their sources and they have given them a similar information about the location of the shoot. That's information from Production Weekly, Cinelinks, Bestman Bulletin, and now LRM, all saying roughly the same thing. With that kind of independent verification from so many unrelated sources, it's hard to really call this a rumor. It looks like this High Republic Star Wars show will be aimed at a younger audience and star a younger cast. That's something we heard from our previous coverage of the show that at one time was mistakenly thought was a movie. This was something Jordan Mason said on all his coverage for this unnamed project also. As Lunga has indicated, fuck them kids. We don't really want to deal with these kids. But what are your guys' thoughts on this High Republic show seemingly being aimed towards the younger audience, but also starring kids?
Hold on. Since we're going back to no longer debate and we're just doing a usual format, can I have my old spot, please?
Sure.
Thank you. There we go.
Sure.
Lunga, you're up.
Oh, so it's going right to me then.
Or is it my turn? I don't care.
If you want me to give me my thoughts first, I'll just say that I don't like this idea because I don't think kids really work in Star Wars. At least seeing with Omega, seeing with Jake Lloyd and the Phantom Menace, I'm not saying that Star Wars isn't for kids. It absolutely is. But I do not remember being a kid and for one instance relating to Anakin at all when he was a kid. I felt no attachment to him throughout the entire thing. So that gif seems pretty accurate. Like, people do not really want to mess with kids when it comes to Star Wars because it's hard to maybe just feel a connection to them. Maybe it's just bad writing at that instance, but still.
And I know people have this thing about me, like yeah, Lunga just hates kids. No, listen, I like kids. I like the Soka.
She just posted that gif.
I like Stranger Things, believe it or not. I actually like Stranger Things. I enjoy that show for what it is. Because it's a show that revolves around fucking kids. That's what the show is about.
Aren't they like mid, like
there's
teenagers?
A difference. There is a difference between made for kids and about kids. Those are two different concepts. Okay, let's remember that. Those are two separate concepts. Star Wars is not about kids. There's a lot of elements that are for kids, but it's not about kids. So when I say fuck them kids, is I typically, especially in Star Wars or other media that's not about kids, don't like elements that focus on fucking kids. That's why I don't like it. That's why I hate Omega, because they're focusing on her and she's a trash fucking character. A lot of people with love them or hate the prequels, a lot of people don't like The Phantom Menace because of fuck that kid. You didn't need a young Anakin for an entire fucking movie. Even the Ahsoka. She annoyed me when they first introduced her when she was younger. But once they get to that older, you know, more teenage stuff and it's a thing about you know, having powers like we could see maybe in superhero stuff, then it's not, it's a little more palatable to me. But once they're, when they're younger than 15, let's say, and are just a bunch of bumbling kids figuring things out who can be smarter than the adults sometimes, that trope usually bores the living shit out of me, especially if it's set in a world or universe where it's not about kids. That's why Stranger Things is more palatable. It's about the kids. The whole show revolves and is made for that universe to be about those kids. Star Wars isn't.
Okay, yeah, for sure. I think there's definitely... I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just saying I'm not super excited for it. You know, from what we've heard, I could be wrong. It could be an enjoyable show. It just kind of reminds me of... What was that short thing they did on YouTube for the Jedi Order kids show?
Wasn't it literally called, like, Star Wars Kids? Or
yeah, Galaxy with Ahmed Best. Ahmed Best was... No, Ahmed... Oh, no, Galaxy
Jedi, the Jedi. It's like the Jedi Challenges type?
Yeah,
thing,
yeah, with challenges. Ahmed Best. Yeah, that's what
The game show.
Yeah, exactly. Show, yeah, that's what this is kind of reminding me of. It, you know, by all means, if they want to make a show that's specifically targeted towards kids, whatever, it's not for me. I kind of look at Resistance that way. Resistance just isn't for me, so I'm not going to really even watch it or, like, critique it because it's just not made for me. That said, if this is like the only, or like for a while, the only live action High Republic content, that's the part that I'd be very disappointed with. But I don't think this is the only High Republic content we're getting in live action. I cannot see it in this being the only thing. So I'm holding on hopes that we will probably get this kid oriented show. It'll happen. It'll come and pass. But we're also going to get this more kind of mature actual story of the High Republic and stuff, either as a film or as a Disney Plus show. So I don't have any like super, super strong thoughts. I'm just indifferent to it. But we'll see what happens if or when it comes out.
And my issue, one little caveat, let me add on it real quick before you go. I don't want this to be the first thing we see out of books when it comes to the High Republic. Give us something else first, man. Don't start out.
You'll probably get the Acolyte series before you get this, but that may be a... very like small difference. It probably won't be as satisfying as you'd like it to be. But Goldman, do you want the show or not? What are your thoughts on it?
I'm almost always going to be in favor of new content because Lucasfilm isn't restricted in terms of how much they can make. They can make all the shows they want. It's just what they feel is best, and I guess not being cheap about it. But I do think it's a little interesting. I agree with the point, and I'm not someone who's read a lot of the High Republic, but it seems like the crux of what makes the High Republic great, or towards the fans that do like it, are the adult novels. So making the first High Republic story solely about kids is a very interesting choice. And I'm going to use the word that Lucasfilm is afraid of more than anything, marketing. This show needs to be marketed saying, hey, this is for kids. So if you like a little bit more mature content, this isn't for you. And I have no problem with Star Wars experimenting with different types of shows with different audiences. I think that's the beauty of Star Wars compared to other franchises, that you can tell all these different kinds of stories that are for different kinds of people. So I'm totally in favor of a story that, honestly, I wouldn't be opposed to a story that's about kids, as long as it's not treated as this is the next big thing Star Wars is doing, this is the next Mandalorian, everyone needs to watch this. Say no, here's
Kevin
the show.
Scott. Charles Soule, Claudia Gray, you're going to give me Justina Ireland? Please don't start with that.
I'm sorry, her past two.
Yeah, Claudia's kind of, she's kind of iffy now too. I mean, her early stuff was good. It was decent. But
yeah, Lost Stars was amazing. And then, like, I don't know what the fuck happened, but as soon as she picked up High Republic, she was like, let me waste 15 chapters of this book doing nothing and then spend the last 15 chapters actually doing something.
So in short, the crux of my point is I'm always in favor of Lucasfilm trying new things as long as it doesn't contradict or ruin anything that's pre-established. So if they want to tell a story about kids during the High Republic, then I'm all for that because that timeline is so wide open. So they can do whatever they want as long as it doesn't contradict the books, although they seem to not care about the books or comics anyway, so that might happen.
Oh, that's a whole nother debate we can have is like, should canon matter or not? Because clearly Dave Filoni does not think so. He never cared about the expanding universe, and now he doesn't care about like comic book canon or anything like that. But that's all we have for the High Republic segment. Last bit of news I wanted to end on was a little more positive. The Book of Boba Fett finale. Viewership 36% higher than the Mandalorian season 2 closer. I can't remember if there was like an official... number report, like in terms of
it was 36% higher.
That's what I said, but I mean like by the millions.
1.5 million and the U.S. United States only 1.5 million in the past 5 days. 5 days of release from release.
Yeah, but can we add what the the viewer ratings are on top of that?
Nah, those are relevant.
A lot of people didn't like it.
No, but there is an important point to be made about that. Is you could say, oh, just because the viewers are higher, it's the same percentage of fans. That's not, yes, that's true, but let's be real. Star Wars fans who really care about Star Wars, bought Disney Plus within the first week it came out, or maybe the first month it came out. So what this is showing is that even though the percentages of people that have watched this finale are the same, it shows that it's bringing in more people, more of a casual audience into the Star Wars fandom or being invested in the Star Wars story going forward. Because most of the fans that have watched Star Wars bought Disney Plus from the beginning. So now, as the numbers increase and that percentage stays the same, that means more non-casual, more non-hardcore fans are getting into the franchise. So I think it actually says a good thing about the franchise going forward.
It does. It is unique. There is a article from Star Wars News Net that says, I think this they're referring to Parrot Analytics. That went to insider.com, and according to their numbers, audience demand for The Mandalorian during its first 11 days was 75% higher than The Book of Boba Fett in the U.S. and 101% globally. In addition to that, The Mandalorian was the number one show in the world and U.S. during the same period of time. And when they say currently, this was one of the first, probably like the third or fourth episode, because this was in the beginning of January. They say currently The Book of Boba Fett holds 12th place in the States and 18th worldwide. I know that this number is especially relevant if we consider that back in November 2019, when The Mandalorian first came out on Disney Plus, the platform was available in many countries outside of North America. With all that said, The Book of Boba Fett is still in the top 2% of shows, most watched programs, and projects worldwide at that moment. They're kind of just saying that, like, at the beginning, The Mandalorian had a lot more hype than The Book of Boba Fett did, but clearly at the end, whether it be because of the popularity of The Book of Boba Fett or the popularity and the mass number of people watching Disney Plus, the finale did do bigger than the ending of season 2 of The Mandalorian, which, like you guys were saying, does speak to the popularity of Star Wars at this point. I've noticed.
Yeah, people were checking in. They still wanted to know what happened, like it or not, just like me. I couldn't stand the series. I was obviously watching it.
Or maybe the finale was so big is because the past two episodes were all Mandalorian content, so probably, it was really easy to get excited.
That hype got built up. Well, I think it's also important to say that, excuse me, the other episodes of the Book of Boba Fett 1-4 did very fine as well. They did pretty good in many, many different ways. And so, it goes back to a lot of people like to claim that Star Wars is dead and X, Y, and Z killed Star Wars. It's like, no, let's look at the actual numbers. I'm not. It's like Star Wars is doing fine. And even though I wasn't like too fond of the finale, it still makes me happy as a fan to see the reception of audience viewers that people are very, very much interested in Star Wars. It's really interesting. I kind of want to bring up kind of a side point, but it's also connected to this is Star Wars is doing much better than Marvel on Disney Plus, just based on viewership, on average viewership. Star Wars is doing better than the average Marvel show. Do you guys think that's going to have Disney kind of green light and push for more Star Wars shows to Lucasfilm?
No.
I mean, there is a bunch of stuff, though. That's the thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The movies they can't get right.
Yeah.
New movies.
There seems to be like a lot of it, but I'm saying no because here's the thing. Marvel is working in ways that Star Wars simply cannot anymore.
Marketing,
what I mean by that is like, look at Spider-Man No Way Home. Do any of you guys think that there's a Star Wars movie that can do that again?
Already did it.
Yes, Old Republic, Darth Revan,
Force Awakens.
No, Force Awakens did it. Yes, for sure. But that was because the message was Star Wars is back. All right, no, Spider-Man No Way Home was simply built up by
Andrew is back. Tobey Maguire is back. That's why it succeeded.
Bruh, did you not see the excitement when they were talking about remaking the Old Republic games? And we got that little bit of Revan in that teaser trailer.
How many casual audiences know about the whole Old Republic?
They don't have to know. How many casual audiences? Come on, dude. It's Star Wars.
I tend to agree with Star Wars. with the Spider-Man.
I thought a Han Solo movie would have worked out. No one went to go see that.
Can Star Wars do it again? I don't think that's fair because I'm going to back up that question with yours. Is can Marvel do that again with another Spider-Man movie? No, unless they bring back nostalgia. But even then, nostalgia only lasts so long.
They have proven in the past 3 or 4 years that they can be number one time after time. Black Panther, Avengers Endgame, Infinity War. I'm saying Star Wars cannot reach these heights anymore. I don't agree with you.
I think, based on the Mandalorian,
until a movie comes out and proves that, that's very fair.
I agree that Star Wars is definitely they've kind of put themselves in a little bit of a bad spot. I know we're talking about movies here, but if we just look at the reception of The Mandalorian, I mean, that literally became a worldwide phenomenon. I understand it's like it's a Disney Plus show.
And what did the general audience know about Mandalorians?
Exactly. Nothing. You don't have to have this premise based on nostalgia like No Way Home did, because I like the movie, but it relied very heavily on nostalgia, and that's why I like the movie a lot, but I'm not going to deny that if those characters were in it, the movie would have not done 8%. They were just.
I was arguing this today with someone who was comparing it to DC and the Michael Keaton thing. I go, it was pure fan service. It was pure nostalgia.
Absolutely.
But they got lucky because they actually did a good story around it.
I liked it, but yeah. So I see where you're coming from. I think Star Wars very much can reach those highs in the film aspect, because again, like Lungo said, just look at Mandalorian. No one knew what there wasn't even really any hype around the Mandalorian, even amongst hardcore Star Wars fans. It was like, okay, this looks fine. We'll see what happens. But look how huge the show got. There was hype. I'm not saying there wasn't, but there's hype for every Star Wars project.
No, there wasn't that much hype for the Mandalorian.
Can we get a bet right now? I'm telling you, as long as they don't fuck it up. If they fuck it up, I can't be held responsible for Lucasfilm fucking up again. But if they announce a High Republic movie and there's some dope ass trailers and we see the shit with Revan and we see this shit with
Old Republic?
I meant Old Republic. If we get an Old Republic and we see Revan and we sell this stuff in there, and they don't fuck up the story, they do something, let's say Jon Favreau produces it and directs, he's a director. Okay. No. That was Robert Rodriguez. Slow down. Anyway. Favreau stood back. He has an executive producer credit and writing credits, but he let Robert Rodriguez lead the way on that. Anyway, if they make an Old Republic thing and we get Revan and we get a dope-ass trailer and they do the right marketing and don't fuck up the story, billion-dollar movie.
You're cutting them short, man. $1.5 billion. $1.5 billion. You guys want to put money on it?
Last Jedi didn't do 1.5, did it? That did 1.3.
No,
I don't care. Last Jedi's Last Jedi. We're talking High Republic, man. Jedi, tons of Jedi.
I'm sorry. This is where I get frustrated with Lucasfilm. Is like, you really think they're gonna do anything like that again with not only their lack of marketing but their lack of confidence? But even then, like, trajectory has not shown that. Like, the Star Wars movies have consistently been going down in their box office. The next movie was going to be Rogue Squadron. I don't think
Favreau expedited producing and Bryce Dallas Howard directing an Old Republic. God damn it, that would be so fucking amazing. Great.
But Lunga, that's a good idea, and Lucasfilm doesn't like that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Hey, big screen leaks. We're very, very confident that whole Old Republic movie is in the works. But that was also alongside that the Kenobi trailer was coming out for Star Wars Day. So I don't know.
Like, everyone had heard about the Old Republic stuff happening, kind of to replace Rogue Squadron, with this news that we just talked about today about the High Republic show being a show and not the movie. That's more confirmation that an Old Republic movie is probably and more than likely happening, and probably will be announced at Star Wars Celebration this year. But with all that to be said, I mean, I don't know if I can say that. I do think it can do a billion. 1.5, it doing more than The Last Jedi after The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi, literally, this is what's so funny about it. All it had to do was be good. Like, all it had to do was just continue the hype of The Force Awakens. Like, all it had to do was just fucking try. And instead, Ryan was like, all these people want to watch my movie. Let me depress the shit out of them.
Look at my Discord members posted.
Why do I feel personally attacked? That's me in the bottom left corner, isn't it?
Man, who's got the mustache?
I will say I'm the guy with the mustache. Lunga hasn't seen me in a minute, but I've been going mustache on.
I hope Craig Clink is watching this right now. He's probably
I am the guy in the bottom left corner. I feel personally attacked.
That's what you guys get for making fun of my $1.5 billion goal. Look, here, okay, so I want to respond to, if you want to bring up this comment from Akairo for podcast listeners, he said, going back to the point, he said, people know Revan more than Han Solo, ? No, they don't, but people don't really care for a Han Solo story. He's just a side charismatic character. People for sure would very much be on board overall for a movie about the Jedi versus the Sith. I mean, just that aspect alone, the hype built up by the core audience would go so far and far beyond. The trailer alone for that, unless they screw up the trailer, which, look, at least with the sequel film, the sequel trailers, Lucasfilm can make a freaking good trailer. I don't care what anyone says about the films. Those trailers are phenomenal. If they do the same thing with an Old Republic movie, seeing the Jedi versus the Sith, no doubt in my mind that movie. Look, I say $1.5 billion as just kind of a stretch. Because it's my hoping. I'm not saying that it will or won't, but I do think it has a chance for doing very, very, very successful.
Let's talk about one thing, because I'm the casual gamer. I game here and there. You guys love games much more than me. Yeah. You guys are always pointing out about how, Lunga, you don't understand the gaming community. Don't underestimate the gaming community when it comes to fucking Revan.
Mm-hmm. That's why they need to cast Brie Larson as Revan.
I was gonna say until they make him a girl. The epic gamer moments will come through. Oh boy. I'm just saying, imagine a trailer where you just see this guy with a purple lightsaber come out, and then you see a guy with an orange lightsaber come out, and then a red lightsaber, and it's just
better yet, are we forgetting? People, I mean, if they don't know Revan, are we forgetting that Revan was instrumental in with the Mandalorian Wars? Okay? And we have a show of a Mandalorian. We're going to get a lot of Mandalorian fucking lore. You don't think that eventually they can name drop? They could start bringing elements talking about ancient history and Revan into Mandalorian, giving the general audience this idea of who this guy is. Give me the fucking job, please.
I do think, though, that if the Mandalorian and the Mandoverse continues the quality of the Mandalorian and not the Book of Boba Fett, and so they have a bunch of these shows and then they announce that all these shows are going to come together in a Heir to the Empire-esque culmination movie, I think that movie would do better than a Old Republic movie.
I agree. I actually think that would do really good. I remember Kessel Run Transmission said that like Mandalorian was going to lead up to a movie, and if it did, that would be that. I mean that would do really well.
I can agree
in sales and numbers, but
if Luke's in it, that, especially.
Oh, Okiro, no! Give me Gal Gadot as Basla. That's you got it.
Uncle Sarah's fucking out.
No. Bring in Daisy Ridley as Bastilla just to piss everyone off.
What the fuck?
People don't hate her. Bring in Gina Carano.
She's going to play two
people. People hated Daisy Ridley. People hated Daisy Ridley. A lot of people hated her.
She got kind of political out of nowhere.
But nowhere near as much as Brie Larson.
It was like one post. It's not Brie Larson level, Goldman. I'm not. Don't get me wrong. It's not Brie Larson level.
They probably hate Simu Liu more than they hate Daisy Ridley.
Yeah. Most of the hate towards Daisy Ridley comes to the dislike of her character, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's exactly my point. It's hilarious. It's sad. Yeah, so bring her back for playing another character.
It's not like Brie Larson. People actually hate Brie Larson so much. Yeah,
which is also ridiculous because I don't think she's like.
And to be honest, Daisy Ridley's kind of like aloof. She like came for money. She's like.
Oh yeah, she has no self-awareness at all. I was really surprised that people didn't like these new movies, and I was like, really? Like even John Boyega is like, man, like I'm not.
Even J.J. Abrams is like, you guys might not like what I did, but I don't care. Well, I do care, but it's my story. This is what I felt was best.
Yeah.
Even J.J. Abrams, I love J.J. dude. He's so like, I can respect a man who's honest with himself.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars always had respect for Fallout.
He at least admits when people are like. Say, well, this was wrong. And he's like, oh, yeah, I fucked that up.
Well, there was a video of like a fan going, JJ, I love all of your films. He goes, the heck is wrong with you? Or something like that. it's hilarious.
Yeah, they're not. I saw Super 8. I wasn't a fan, JJ.
I'm a fan of the old Cloverfield. Cloverfield franchise is pretty
good. I
love the first one.
You know why? Because he had more creative control.
The second one was really good.
I'm telling you.
The 10 Cloverfield Lane was a great movie.
It wasn't supposed to be
about the fucking aliens. It was just a good movie, and then they added aliens at the end.
People shit on that one more than the other ones. People
Paradox was awful.
Paradox
was I haven't seen Paradox yet, but I heard
amazing marketing in like the weirdest tie-ins of all fucking time. Like I'm surprised that movie happened, and I really want a good sequel to Cloverfield. I know they're going to actually do one, but like, God damn, man, it's been like fucking 10 years. Sometimes we overhype things for too long, and I think that's the Avatar. Route that series is going to go, but whatever. Yeah,
but I mean, there's a thing with Clover, and I get it. General audiences don't get it, and they don't understand this lower level of things. But the whole Cloverfield universe, in a way, it's loosely connected. He kind of tried to do a little bit of a Tarantino thing, where Tarantino ties all his movies together with little Easter eggs and little things like the cigarettes and this and that. And there was also, are you guys familiar with ARGs?
No.
They're called alternate reality games. They're basically stuff that are online that are posted on Reddit, different websites, and you follow these clues, right? And you try to figure out something. It'll give you like some weird image, and then if you check the image and you look at the properties of the image, you can see a URL that sends you to another website, and it shows you pictures of something else. And you play these ARGs, and you follow all these clues, and it like unravels this mystery that revolves around the Cloverfield universe with the slushy, the stuff that they're mining under. Cause they don't really talk about this in the movies, but there's like this stuff in the ocean that they're mining. It's some juice that they make. It's called slushy or whatever. Remember, they show it in the movies. And there's this whole thing, underground mystery, that revolves around that. And people really got caught up in that. So there's this whole other world revolving around Cloverfield universe that's really not in the movies, and a lot of your average, you know, general audience don't know about.
Yeah, so, no, it's got cool Easter eggs, like the whole reversing the ending credits where you hear like it's still alive and all that stuff. Like, cool shit. I don't think Star Wars would ever do that. But you guys have any closing statements? Anything you want to say before we let the viewers go and call it a show?
I'm super hypey for the main topic. I really hope this does happen. I just think we all agree that they need to do it a very specific way. I'm excited. I'm excited for the future of Star Wars with this High Republic show, as long as put up. I'm not too fond of it. Boba Fett.
Some kids.
I feel Boba
Those
Fett
are my
was,
closing arguments.
Boba Fett was a misstep by Lucasfilm in many, many ways, and all I ask for is that they reflect and learn about where things may have gone wrong with that show. Mistakes are bound to happen, and I just hope. The only thing I can ask for is that they learn. But yeah.
Well, not sure what we have planned for the next show. We're not going to be getting Star Wars content until May 25th, it seems, at least at this very specific moment in terms of confirmation. So we may take a break in between that time just to kind of, you know, reset some things. But I do hope that maybe starting next week we can tell you guys the next 2 to 3 shows and what we have planned out in terms of topics and debates. So if you guys have anything specifically that you would like us to cover over the course of a show, please leave a comment.
We were talking about possibly doing a reading club kind of thing if everybody gets caught up on the books.
Yeah, the books. I think that'd be kind of hard for all four of us to read a book in a time frame and just have that. But I mean, I would love to do that. One thing I know I talked about to you guys about, of course, is going over specific things in Star Wars, like the history and fandom, like blanket reviews. I would love to go over that with you guys in an episode, or even something as kind of weird as The People versus George Lucas. Like, I know that's a documentary, but like if all four of us could watch it at once on Discord, I think I'd own the movie on my Xbox. So something like that we could watch and talk about. And then you guys as an audience could, of course, watch it and then discuss it with us whenever we actually do a show and leave your thoughts. So if there is anything like that, whether it be the Plinkett reviews, whether it be People versus George Lucas, another documentary, another movie, anything related to Star Wars, leave your thoughts, even if it's the expanded universe, like it, literally anything and everything you can think of, Mortis arc, any substance of debate and interesting topic we can go over during an episode of Chatooine. We'll try to do that before we start getting back into, you know, reviewing the shows and episodes that come out. So open for anyone to give us an idea. But that is all the time we have today. So thank you all for joining us here on Chatooine. This was a really good episode and really good discussion. Links are in the description below if you want to subscribe to all of our channels. My channel, Star Wars Only, Darth Daddy Lunga, Goldman Pout Memes, all in the description below. Of course, save some money on your Star Wars books with Inside Editions. Use that code. Can't wait to see you guys again. Till then, make sure you leave a like, comment once the show ends. Subscribe to the Chatooine YouTube channel, please. If you're watching, please subscribe. We'll see you guys next week, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, same time. And may the Force be with you always. Mm-hmm.